Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Ripped, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He gave you all his love, but he loves making war. It's Micah.
Oh, so this episode, you pick... What would make sense? You pick lyrics that would make sense. That's a Rick Astley song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. That's what I thought.
That was his follow-up to Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yep. I give you all my love, you just want to make war. Oh, man. What a good musician that guy was.
Dude, people hate that song.
Yeah?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what all songs Rick Astley has done, but I only care about Never Gonna Give You Up, yep. Never Gonna Let You Down, Never Gonna Run Around and Desert You. One of the greatest songs of all time.
It's fantastic.
And it's so, the melody is fucking perfect. Mm-hmm. It's such a good song.
I agree.
There are so many people who hate that song, and in all fairness, it's because it's, like, in some circles, overplayed.
I think it's because of the meme of it, too. Like, the whole getting Rickrolled thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, getting Rickrolled. Have you ever heard of this?
I've heard the term. I didn't realize it had anything to do with Rick Astley.
Yeah, so that's where it comes from. Because basically, people would just start sending that link, but they would say that it's other things. And so they'd be like, hey, could you check out this email for me real quick and reply to it? And they'd send a link. And you lie to them so that they click on the link thinking that it's something else.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with the concept. Yeah. But usually it's like gay porn or something.
It's never that. It's not what getting Rickrolled is.
I'm saying that prank of being like, hey, is this you on the news? And then it's just a dude getting blasted in the ass.
Well, that's not what this is.
Okay.
This is much more, I don't know, allowed.
Well, you're not sending it to people in the office. You're sending it to your friends.
Yeah, but yeah, you're like, hey, check this out. It's like this really important video. You need to watch it. And then they click it and it's like, and it just starts going off. And then they're like, hey, you got Rickrolled.
Okay. Yeah, I did not realize that's where that came from. I was familiar with the term Rickrolled. I did not actually know that's what it was.
I had a student who considered herself a professional Rickroller. That's how she went. Like, she had her name, and then she, in parentheses behind that, it was the Rickroller. And there were multiple instances where you can submit all of our work digitally now, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we essentially have an online classroom. So it's really nice because for me, I just go to the computer and click on the assignment, and whoever sent it in, she continuously would put two assignments in, two submissions. And the first one was the link to Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. it was like four times a year that she would do this, so that it wasn't enough that it would get super annoying, but just enough that I was like, oh my gosh, kid. And then the second submission was the actual assignment. And it didn't hurt her that she was actually very bright and very gifted.
Yeah.
And, like, if she was a pain in the neck student.
Genuinely, if it was me, she would have gotten extra credit. I'd have been like, you get extra credit for being fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else in this class compared to you is a fucking dork. That's the coolest. That's the funniest and coolest shit you could do.
Yeah. So.
Because little do you know, it's one of my favorite songs. So, extra credit.
Extra credit. Well, yeah, I didn't give her any extra credit. I did proceed to Rickroll, though, a couple of times. I did it sparingly. Right back at her. So, yeah. Anyway, Rick Astley is a thing of the past. I want to talk about now. I want to talk about I want to get rid of all that techno jargon of the past with synths and garbage, and I want to get to modern day technology with cellos
and banjos
and banjos and violins. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about a modern take on roots music. Yeah. Really pushing the envelope.
Really
of the future.
Pushing it. Yeah.
Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Alrighty, folks. So today we are discussing Principium, a four-song EP from the band The Arcadian Wild. Principium is described by the band as a EP and short film project. Interestingly, the band had already made two albums prior to this, which they basically funded through Kickstarter. This was also funded through Kickstarter. I believe the funding was done in 2020 and it was released throughout 2021. So the concept of the album takes its four movements, you know, four individual songs, all completely contained, but all together they tell one long story. So kind of like a small concept album. So each song is numbered 1 through 4, as well as the corresponding seasons of the year. So it's one spring. With the surname of Wake.
Yep.
Then 2, summer walk. Number 3 is fall war. With number ending with number 4, winter will. So all of these songs and the music videos released with them were released with the corresponding seasons as well. So spring was released in spring, summer released in summer, so on and so forth. The whole EP was released over the course of the year.
So they didn't release it all at once.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Okay.
So each one of the songs, we'll be talking about the music videos a little bit as well, because it is meant to be like a neat short film that goes with them. I think for me, that's the less interesting part of this.
Yeah.
But we can obviously talk about that too. But before we start getting into the details and everything that's going on with this album, Micah, first thoughts on Principium and The Arcadian Wild?
So this one, this one surprised me a little bit. I think that you have let me hear very briefly one of the songs. I think it was the third one.
Yeah, Fall War.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, spoiler alert ahead. One of my favorite songs ever, all time. I fucking love the third song. It was my introduction to this band and this album.
Okay. Yeah, so when I got to that song, I was like, oh, Thor had let me hear that. And even then, it was a, hey, listen to this real quick. It was like off your phone or on your laptop, and it wasn't the whole song. It was just like a quick snippet.
Yeah.
Because you were telling me that you were listening to these guys. And I liked that, and so I realized as that song came in that I had listened to that, but that was the third one, not the first one. So my very initial impression, was surprise, because I just kind of walked into this blind. I didn't research or do anything like that. I just looked at the music videos and I really quickly started to see that this was about the tale of Adam. Which I was like, oh, this is interesting.
I was curious if you would pick up on that.
Oh, right away.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Especially
when you listen to it throughout, like from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty clear.
Yeah. And just to make it clear, we're talking biblical Adam, like Adam and Eve, story of the Garden of Eden type of thing.
Yeah, this story tells the first three chapters of the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And it's told through this very romantic and not, I guess maybe romantic's not the right word, but told through this very like sweet lens. It's a very different telling of that story. Whereas sometimes I feel like a lot of times when you talk about like especially biblical stories, it's almost like, okay, these are the facts. This is what happened. But this is told in a way that's very like poetic.
Sure.
And beautiful, I think.
Well, it's told in from like the first two songs are from what I can gather, the first two songs are from the viewpoint of God.
Yes.
And then the second two songs are from the viewpoint of Adam.
Yes.
So there is this the best analog would be a father-son relationship, right? Like you super, super, super love your kid or, mm-hmm. or like parent, child, doesn't have to be father-son specifically. But I mean, there is love that is really, really felt in all of these songs.
Yeah.
So the music is amazing. I felt like there was a little bit of a disconnect between the music video and the lyrics.
Agreed.
And that threw me off a little bit. I think that if I would have listened to this prior to, I'm sorry, if I would have listened to this without watching the music video while I was listening to it, I think it would have been even more apparent that it was about the story of Adam and Eve. But because I was watching this, I was trying to correlate what was happening in the music video to the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
And that wasn't quite happening. There wasn't a one-to-one there. I could kind of get where they were going visually, metaphorically, through the symbolism of the video. But there was a little bit of a disconnect there for me. However, that doesn't change the fact that all four of these songs were great. I think all of the four of the songs are beautifully written. And the music is awesome.
Yeah,
the music's super, super cool. So yeah, I was a bit surprised to get this. But, I mean, it was a welcome one.
Yeah. No, and I thought that would surprise you a little bit.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I love this is like, how beautifully it is written and lyrically and stuff. So for me, because I didn't actually realize at first, like, right, because I had listened to the songs as mm-hmm. Because I listened to Fall War and I fell in love with that song. I listened to it for a number of times, ended up finding out it's part of this 4-part series.
Sure.
And I started listening to them. And the interesting things about the lyrics is, like, yes, he is telling the story of like the creation of man through the lens of like the book of Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the first time I listened to all songs through, to me it was a song about like a father and a son.
Sure.
I think you could also look at it as a tale of just a person living through the phases of their life. Written like a person growing from birth to death and kind of their relationship with their father from that other side as well.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of have multiple perspectives. It could also be kind of viewed through the lens of like a relation, like a romantic relationship with a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well as a relationship of God and the creation of man. So I think there are so many layers. That's part of what I find so interesting about this is like, I think there's multiple ways to experience this music as far as like the story that's being told.
I could see that there. Yeah. You could have different interpretations from this. Yeah. I mean, for me, having all of the, there's never any time where they're like, hey, this is a song about Adam and the Garden of Eden. They do make references, I think, in like the first or the second about the Garden of Eden. I think it might be the second one. Like the Garden of, like even in Eden, there are demons. There's a line in there or like even something like that. They use those three words.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
So there are some.
Yeah, I can look at, yeah, I got the lyrics pulled up.
Yeah, I think that it's in the second one.
Even Eden's home to demons, they can mesmerize.
Yeah, Yeah, so there are some analogs or some references, but it's very, very minimal, and all of that could be seen as a metaphor to, you know, a relationship type of thing, kind of like what you were
exactly,
saying.
Yeah.
It could be interpreted in many different ways. So this is not overtly a religious song by any means. Yeah, but the music was really, really good, and there were two singers in this. I personally think that I liked the guitar player a little bit more. I think the mandolin player was the other singer. I don't know any of their names, but...
Well, yeah, let me go down through the list. So first of all, the Arcadian Wild is comprised of three people. That is the guitar player, Isaac Horn.
Okay.
The mandolin player, Lincoln Mick. And they're the core of the band. They formed the band when they met in college. And then the most recent addition is Bailey Warren. She is the fiddle player.
Okay.
They all kind of do vocals. The guy playing the bass on this is Eric Coveney.
Okay.
Now, he is not like an official member of the band, but this is kind of a tradition of like these like folk revival, roots revival bands. Is like there's a lot of people kind of in that scene, and they hop in and hop out for projects. So the bass player for this specific project was Aaron Coveney.
Okay.
But really, Isaac, Lincoln, and Bailey, they are the core of the band. And when it comes to actually writing the songs and arranging the music, Isaac and Lincoln are, you know, they're the ones who created the band. They're the primary songwriters and creators of the music.
Okay.
And unsurprisingly to you probably, is the two of them met at Lipscomb University, which is a Christian university in Tennessee, I believe.
Okay.
They met in the choir program there.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely religiously influenced.
Sure.
But I don't think anybody needs, like, the music is so incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The lyrics are so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I think in so many, once again, like I said, there's so many ways you could like kind of interpret them and internalize them.
Yeah.
That I think none of that matters.
I would agree. Yeah, it's not
as far as if you're just looking for something incredible to listen to.
Yeah.
It's insane to me that this exists. Like that they wrote this music, because it's not bluegrass. It has so much bluegrass influence, but like their vocal harmonies are it blows me away every time I listen to any of these songs.
So the third one was your favorite out of all of them? That's
Fall
War.
Yeah.
So why is that one your favorite out of the three of them?
It has so much energy. It has so much. The vocal harmonies are incredible. The actual, like, the musicality of it, it's just like this just pumping rhythm the whole time.
Sure.
And it's just the fiddle goes absolutely insane on that song. And I love a fiddle. I love a good fiddle solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it stands, I think they're all great songs.
Sure.
That one to me just has, it was the first one that I ever heard. So maybe that's part of it too. But just listening to all of them, it's like that one just stands out as like something special, kind of just magic in a bottle, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. I wonder if they had, you said that this was a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had the music written and ready to go.
Yeah.
To make all of these?
From what I read, and I could have the timelines off a little bit, but it seems like... So, there's a video you can find on their website. It's like a four-minute video where you can still see their Kickstarter video they made where it's the guitar player and the mandolin player, Isaac and Lincoln, basically asking for, like, hey, you guys have funded us for this. This is our new project we're working on.
Yeah.
And so Lincoln, the mandolin player, he basically was just playing around on the mandolin and just kind of came up with this riff.
That dun 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 dun. That, like that.
Probably
one?
That.
Yeah.
And he said it took him like 5 years of just playing with that. And after a while, he was finally just like, he had just kept playing with it and playing with it. And then COVID hits, touring stops, and they have time to really just write.
Sure.
So maybe the idea came before COVID and all the shutdowns and stuff, or maybe it was, but it kind of seems like that was all around the same time.
Okay.
So, it was kind of like this idea that was floating around in his head, and then they just decided to do it.
Hmm. That's cool. Is this their first album, or their first EP?
This is their third EP.
Have they all been Kickstarter EPs?
The two before, I know for certain the two before them were.
So they did three Kickstarter EPs in a row.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Most recently, their most current album that is out, for anybody who listens to this, if you're interested, and once again, like Punch Brothers, Nickel Creek, if you're into that kind of like bluegrass type feel, these guys are incredible. I've listened to a couple of their other songs, and they're all pretty
solid.
Yeah. I mean, they're incredible musicians. Absolutely incredible. But their most recent album, Welcome, just came out.
Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ba. I'm looking for, I'm not sure exactly when it came out. I don't have that pulled up.
Do you know if they got that song or that album kickstarted as well, or was that?
I do not know.
I wonder if they're just like, they want to be independent and not with a record label. I wonder why they're doing the Kickstarter route. Because they've obviously got talent. I'm sure that people have approached them to be put on a label.
Yeah, I'm not certain. You want to know what's interesting, though? So all this information I'm telling you, I'm kind of piecing it together. So from what I could see, they don't have a Wikipedia page.
What? Okay.
Like, or at least when you Google their stuff, a Wikipedia page does not pop up.
Yeah, so the Arcadian Wild. Let's just see. Arcadian Wild tickets.
Because,
tickets,
I mean, you have about. To imagine, also, this is like a very niche band.
Yeah, but
this is not a super popular type of music, but I think in this world, they have to be kind of.
They've got to be popular if they were kickstarted. Like, that means that enough people are aware of them, and they've been kickstarted three times, right? So it's not like they're, like, nobody knows who they are. That's wild, though. Yeah, same thing here. Nothing's popping up. Let's the Arcadian Wild Wiki. What do we got? Nothing.
So, fun fact, while you're looking for stuff, and I'll look too. The Arcadian Wild is a reference to a Greek story. The Arcadian Wild was like a utopia in Greek mythology.
Okay.
So, and honestly, when you look at these guys based on the video and looking at them, you look at them, you think like, man, these look like some crunchy hippies.
They
dude.
Do. Yeah. They I really... was just thinking that looking at, I'm on their website looking at them.
And maybe they are, but like I said, they're also people of like, you know, pretty strong faith, obviously. I don't think you can talk about this album without talking about that. And I want to go down through it real quick, just
sure.
For anybody. So once again, it takes place in four parts. So you start with Spring Wake, which is basically telling, it's kind of written from the perspective of God. And it's kind of telling like the creation of, you know, the creation of the earth and the creation of Adam. You move to Summer Walk, and still it's a little less upbeat than the first one. And also still written from the perspective of God. And it introduces Adam to the Garden of Eden. They're walking around, they're naming the animals, and just kind of like basking in the beauty. And kind of at the very end, he creates Eve. There's this really beautiful line where he's like, you'll open your eyes to another set of eyes and another pair of hands that can go in yours.
Mm-hmm.
Song three deals with the serpent and the eating of the apple.
Yeah.
And once again, song three has this really, although it's very energetic, it's kind of almost chaotic. Like, and they talk a lot of, like, one of the lines in there is, chaos shaped the lightning. So I opened the door. And it kind of feels chaotic. It feels frantic.
Yeah.
And it's dealing with, it's this beautiful idea of like, experiencing sin for the first time and then finally feeling shame.
Mm-hmm.
The summer song two is like, talks about how shame doesn't exist. And then in song three, they experience sin and then experience shame.
Yeah.
And then song four, is much slower, much quieter than the rest of them. And it's this very, like, almost regretful tone. Because at this point, Adam is kicked out of the garden and left to go to the world. And it does end on kind of like, it kind of goes back to the beginning. It goes back to the musicality of the first song and kind of plays with the lyrics a little bit. And it almost ends on like this kind of like positive note.
Well, it absolutely does. I think that the last stanza, I'm looking at the lyrics right now. I think that the last stanza goes back to the viewpoint of being from God. Because he says, lay down, sleepyhead, rest your bones in that flower bed. I'll wake you when it's time. We'll walk through the warmth walk in the warmth of an endless light.
Endless light.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's definitely a reference to the hope of the faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And once again, so I think and once I actually ended up realizing that this, what all these songs are about, once mm-hmm. I really read the lyrics and realized like, oh, it's just, they pulled a Creed on me. They pulled a Creed on me.
They did.
I think it's written so, it's so beautiful, and I love that because we've talked about this before. I don't know about on the show or whatever, but like, I don't necessarily hold any particular faith, but I hold the concept of faith in high reverence,
sure.
Right? I have a lot of respect for it, and I think there's a lot of beauty to it. And I think the way that this approaches it is like so, so beautiful and from a place of love and from a place of like, like a place of warmth, and I just love the way that it kind of runs through the story, and it presents it from a place of like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I drank too much.
Well, so let me just jump in there. I think that the lyrics in this coming from the viewpoint that I have, as somebody from a line of faith, there are some lyrics in here that do some really, really deep hits that reference things in scripture without actually saying the scripture. And I think it's very poetically and beautifully done. Again, looking at the lyrics at the end of this, there's a line that says, I know I've changed, but I still look like you. And that's Adam talking to God.
Yeah.
And that's a nod to the biblical scripture saying that man was created in God's image.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And so through that line, like, I've been reading a lot of poetry actually recently. Okay. So I've really grown to appreciate when people can put a paragraph of meaning behind a single line of text. I think that's really an art form. That's such a cool thing. And so like just through that line, like, I know I've changed, but I still look like you. Not only is it alluding to the scripture, it's also building in, it's telling us about Adam's regret. It's telling us about Adam's sin. And it's also telling us about Adam's desire to be redeemed.
Yeah.
All in that line. Like, that's a really well-written line. So I just think lyrically, this stuff was really well done.
Sure. Yeah, and I think what I was trying to say is that I think it gets across, once again, the point I was trying to make earlier, I think, is like, I think sometimes the concept of like faith and stuff like that comes across as kind of like austere and cold and almost like clinical.
Okay.
But this kind of gives it a very human feeling as to like what the positive of it is. And so the line that stands out to me is in the very first song, and it's similar to that one where they're calling, that song line is kind of calling back to a line in the first one where he says, you look so much like me, my affection for you has no measure.
Yeah.
And like the way it's sung is so sweet. And once again, that's one where it hits me as a father. And so I love this concept of Like, is it written from the perspective of God talking to Adam? Yes. But it's also written from the perspective of a father and his son.
Sure.
Which in the last year for me, that's kind of hit me a little bit harder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I kind of love this beautiful look of like, hey, here's this thing that's like a message of like love and letting something grow. And mm-hmm. also I think the garden in itself is a metaphor of like that concept of something growing and becoming what it's going to become.
Sure.
So it's just masterfully done, all of this.
Yeah. So looking at the beginning lyrics too, I'm noticing the reference. So the way that this starts mimics, I should say, the way that the whole song, like the end of song four, that stanza mimics the first stanza of song one.
And the music also does too. Yeah. They like change the music back into it.
Yeah. So that was very, because the spring wake starts up with "Wake up, sleepyhead. I pulled you from the flower bed." Because it says the Adam was made from dirt.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah. And then the last one is "Wake up, sleepyhead.
You know, rest your bones in this flower bed."
Yeah. Beautiful. It's fucking beautiful, man. And once again, you can look at it from the perspective of like, if it's telling this, just the story of a life of a human, you know, where I like to think I'm in the summer of my life. We're probably in the fall, if we're being honest. but no, like I love all of this and how it writes. Let's talk about the videos a little bit though.
Sure. Yeah.
First off, I gotta laugh how hilarious that the main, really the only person in the video, aside from the band playing, mm-hmm. is just a multiracial hottie, just this biracial absolutely. Cutie.
Yeah.
But the whitest music of all time, the whitest music you could ever make.
And they're like, are you thinking like, what's this guy doing in the woods?
Yeah. So I love that. But I do like the video. I think it's not, I agree with your earlier statement that kind of, it feels a little bit disconnected from the music sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's shot beautifully, and some of the cinematography of it is like really, I'm assuming they shot this in like the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, something, or yeah, probably, or like, I don't know, because some of those islands are pretty wild. I don't know if they have islands like that in the New England territories or not.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure these guys are based in the West Coast. I looked at their touring schedule, and most of their touring is like
West Coast,
Washington, California. Mm. What's above Washington?
Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Or is it Oregon and then Washington? I thought it was California, Oregon, Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music videos were kind of cool. I liked at the end of every video, they do like a snippet of what the next video is going to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And once you know that they were releasing them like months in between each release, it's like giving you just a tiny little teaser of what's going to come next.
Yeah. How cool is that? And then at the end, it kind of loops back into the first music video, which I thought was pretty cool. Cause then musically it connects the two, but then the music also helps connect it visually together too, because you have the boy again, and then you have the boy with the music that character is in.
Yeah. Because the boy wake in the very first song, the boy just wakes up in this cabin.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the boy who's become the old man is now greeted by the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy puts him to bed, and then he wakes up and he's gone. And then he lays down to bed. And it's like, did you ever read the Dark Tower series?
No.
This is going to sound very odd.
Okay.
So this is something.
Is that like a Stephen King series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You've never read it?
I have not.
Oh my God.
I've heard it's great.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah. I've heard it's good.
So Stephen King wrote it over the course of like 40 years.
Sheesh.
It's 7 books. And okay. it's a weird, it's like Western and fantasy and sci-fi kind of all mixed together. And it's so cool. But they have this like line in the book. They call it Ka. And Ka is kind of like fate.
Okay.
And the main character constantly says this phrase, Ka is a wheel. Like the wheel of life just continues, you know, it's just a, just keeps coming back around again.
Sure.
And so when King finished the book, there was a point of the book where Stephen King says, hey, look, this is the end of the book. It's not the end of the book, but this is the end of the book that you want.
Okay.
This is how the story ends. Okay. This is how you want the story to end. There's another like 20 pages, and he says, this is the actual ending of the story. Don't read it.
Okay.
I swear to God. And he says, don't read it.
Huh.
Because you will be very mad. If you want a happy ending to the book and you want it to end the way you want it to end, stop reading now. And then there's like 20 more pages.
Okay.
And I'll give you a spoiler alert. So, but you'll probably forget by the time if you come around to reading it. The last 20 pages, what ends up the actual ending of the book is these things go on. The main character, I forget if he dies or what exactly happens to him. And then the last line of the book is the first line of the first book.
Oh, okay.
Because Ka is a wheel and it just spins around. And so essentially the main character is just stuck in this wheel where he just lives this life over and over again.
Okay.
That's what it reminded me of.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
And I do, and I think that's, once again, that's a metaphor you could apply to a lot of things.
It's sure.
Like, you know, fathers and sons and just life in general of like, we live, we die, mm-hmm. we recycle ourselves, we're born again. And, you know, there's so many like meanings you could take from that.
Yeah.
But that's immediately what it made me think of. Like,
immediately made me think of Stephen King. That's fun.
This is Roland, just reliving it all over and over again.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because you see him from a child, and then the next one he's. What's interesting about the videos is that I don't see this as. The videos aren't about Adam and Eve. In fact, Eve never. Like, there. It's only this guy.
No,
in
it's
all
a real
videos.
Sausage fest.
Yeah.
Aside from the fiddle player,
yeah,
who I don't think is actually related to the story.
Right. But what I do think that this is a tale about, what I think the music video portrays is, I think that it really portrays, coming from my perspective, the essence of being born and being part of God, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And then the forest that he's in, I think, is kind of like an analog to the Garden of Eden. And then in the second one, in Summer, he's moving some lumber and he cuts himself. And when he cuts himself, you kind of see that he doesn't understand it. And that's when he starts questioning things. Then he goes inside, then he gets dressed, and then he leaves. And that's him walking away from God. And then the third one is kind of like the whole downfall. And the fourth one, he's an old man and he's super regretful and ends up coming back to the garden and being accepted into the forest again.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a like drifting away from God and then coming back to it. To me, that's what the music video, the cinematography is. That's the story that's telling.
Yes.
And then with him, the old man essentially fading away and the boy becoming, and that's just, in my opinion, a clear analog for being born again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think that it was connected to the scripture in the same way that the lyrics are, but I think they're telling two different stories.
I'm glad you're smart and knowledgeable on this stuff, more so than I am, because like, I definitely picked up on some of that, but also there was some of the stuff where I'm like, I'm not entirely sure what this is trying to tell me.
Right.
But I think, but actually hearing right. you say all those things, I'm like, yeah, that actually all makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, that's just kind of how it seemed to me. Cause it, obviously there wasn't a second person in there, which by the way, I looked at the EP cover of this. There's a man, which I believe is this guy in the music videos. And then there's a woman on there.
Yeah, and who never shows
who never
up
shows
in those
up.
Videos.
They just took her picture for one
it's
reason.
It's definitely not the same guy, though.
Oh, so maybe they just took two people. Maybe they took that because they're like, this is the tale of Adam and Eve. I don't know. Either way, I saw that, and then I was like, oh, okay, so I expected a woman to show up, especially when I was like, oh, this is about Adam and Eve. I was expecting Eve to show up.
Yeah.
And then he was singing. And I was like, this sounds like Eve is being created because it says scripture says that Eve was created from the rib of Adam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once again, another beautiful poetic way to say that is. Let's find it here. I'm just going to read the lyrics. I think they're so fucking beautiful.
Yeah, they're really good.
This garden ardently guards your every want. But I sense a lonesome life's a burdensome one. Take your slumber, you'll awake to eyes like your eyes. Two hands that fit in your hands, bone of your bone.
Yeah, because God made Eve because he saw that Adam was lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it's just super cool. I think, though, like I've got a really deep appreciation for everything that these guys are doing, in part because I recognize all of the things that they're referencing. I think, though, even if you're not somebody of faith, I really don't want you to be deterred by this conversation, by thinking that this is like gospel music or even Christian music. You know, have you ever turned on a radio no. and like sifted through the radio channels
and you just accidentally land
and you
on,
hit
a,
one,
on a Christian song? Yeah.
But you know that it's a Christian song.
Immediately.
Like,
yeah.
Immediately. You're like. Oh, this is a Christian channel.
Yeah. This does not have that. No, like I said, I did not realize. I listened to it for a few times before I realized, like, oh, I think this might be like referencing the Bible. And then and then I started looking into the lyrics and actually like researching into it, and I'm like, oh, they are. They met at a Christian college and it's
sure.
100%. But it's not in your face and it's not. And once again, I think it's a beautiful way of, because if you look at the actual stories, mm-hmm. I think people get so caught up in the dogma and
sure.
Things like that, that they're unwilling to even look at it from a perspective of like, it's such a beautiful like story and concept that they're like approaching and addressing. So, yeah, no, I feel like that's been a lot of the part of the conversation, and I think that's fair. You should have that as part of the conversation when talking about this. But what made me really enjoy this music had nothing to do with that.
Sure.
We haven't even talked about, like, the mandolin is insane.
Oh my gosh, the mandolin's so
good. The fiddle is incredible.
Fiddle's pretty awesome. The
fucking arrangement of the music
yeah.
is next level.
Their harmonies were really good, too.
They are so good. There's so much, like, pop influence and... like R&B influence and just like so much influence outside of like bluegrass.
Yeah.
They're such talented musicians. It's incredible.
I really liked, it was a bass player.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So I really liked him.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
beast.
It.
Beast. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, musically, these guys are very, very talented.
We have not talked about enough about the musicality of like, it's so as a musician, I have such respect for people who play this style of music because
the mandolin's a wild instrument.
It really
those
is.
Those strings are so close to each other. And also the mandolin has so many strings.
Eight strings.
It's got eight strings.
Well, I mean, it's similar to like a 12 string guitar.
Yeah.
Where it's like. There's really four strings.
Sure. Yeah, you play the strings at the same time.
But the mandolin is so interesting because it's so small
it's
that
little.
It's like trying to...
Yeah. And sometimes people put those little like finger picks on their hands that are essentially
yeah.
just like a long fingernail.
Oh, yeah,
so
I got
that
some
they can
finger picks, dog.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I don't know. My dad's got a mandolin. I've seen him play it a couple of times, but he's not very like.
I had a mandolin a long time ago. And... it's very difficult to play. Like, I don't know. I could never figure out, like, I could make music on it. Sure. I could make notes. I could figure out chords.
Yeah.
But actually making it sound good, it's like a different style. Coming from the world of guitar, it's like a different style of playing.
And it's tuned differently than a guitar as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, and that's easy to overcome. But more so, yeah, like the actual, like, the strumming and picking patterns. Sure. Or it's just, to make it sound good, it's different.
Yeah.
It's hard,
yeah,
to explain.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't play music is like, what are you talking about, you fucking dumbass?
Yeah. And also, just let me clarify this in case my dad listens to this episode. I said that dad wasn't very good at the mandolin. I mean that in comparison to the other instruments that he plays. Because, okay, he plays a ton of instruments. Mainly the bass. That's like his big one. But, yeah. He experiments with the mandolin. For what that's worth.
Yeah, that's... makes sense. I think most people experiment with the mandolin.
Sure. Sure.
Like, most people who end up playing a mandolin just experimented with it. Then there's a few special weirdos who actually specialize in the mandolin.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing about the mandolin is you need other people to play with. Because a mandolin just by itself does not sound good.
It's all high-pitched notes. Yeah,
yeah. You need... a mandolin is like a...
doesn't have any booms. It's like a tenor.
It's like an accoutrement. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just... it's not a full meal. It's just... it adds to the meal.
Okay. It's the garnish?
Yeah, it's the garnish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an accoutrement. It's the garnish.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. What's the base then, meal-wise? Is that like the mashed potatoes?
Oh... perfect. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Base is definitely the mashed potatoes. That is the glue that kind of holds the rest of the meal together.
Uh-huh.
The guitar is the steak.
Yep.
Well, I guess it depends on what music you're talking about. In this kind of music, I think the violin, the fiddle is
might
the steak.
Might be the steak, yeah.
The fiddle is the steak. So let's do this music specifically. I think we should do this for every music recommendation going forward.
Okay.
Okay. So in this music, the bass... definitely the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
The steak is that violin.
Yeah, I would agree.
The guitar.
Is that like the vegetable side?
Yeah.
Like it completes the meal. It's not the most exciting part of the meal, but it's good.
Yeah.
Or would you disagree,
yeah,
with that?
Yeah, no, I think you're like carrots.
Yeah.
It's like the carrots.
Yeah.
No, that's a carrot's kind of like a starchy vegetable. So, like asparagus.
The man, asparagus. Now I'm thinking of steak and potatoes and asparagus with some garnish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sounding good.
The mandolin does a lot of work in this, though.
It's a big garnish.
The mandolin is more than garnish in this.
In this one, you're probably, yeah, right. Is the mandolin the wine?
Mandolin is the wine.
Yeah, that's just like... The perfect,
and,
like,
and then all their beautiful vocal harmonies is the dessert. It is a,
oh yeah,
it is a tres leche cake.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Now I'm hungry, Thor. I appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for doing that. I don't know if I'm going to do this for all the music anymore.
We'll have to go out and get dinner every time after we record a music episode.
Cool. Well, yeah, dude, this was a very, very cool recommendation. I listened to it probably about 3 times through in a row.
Yeah.
That's
also the nice part about it. It's 4 songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, folks, please go. It's 20 minutes of music.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think whatever kind of music you like, you will listen to this and be like, it's fucking badass.
Yeah, you can appreciate the technicality.
And I think there's, you know, for different reasons, there are different people who find other stuff, and there's a lot of really, I think, meaningful, like, lyrics and stuff to be found in this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beauty in this. And also, I'd like everyone to keep in mind, I'm not trying to, like, I'm also the guy who likes Gigi Allen. So, who I'm pretty sure, if there was ever a demon born on Earth, I'm pretty sure it was Gigi Allen. So, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to, like, advance an agenda or anything. This is just really good fucking music. It's,
yeah,
really beautiful.
Yeah. And I'll just say that I don't care what you think or believe. So there's
yeah,
that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I honestly couldn't care less.
Well, I just feel like I want to make that clear because the conversations diverge so heavily into that.
Yeah. But I feel like it's hard not to, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Just based on what it is. Oh, musically, it's very, very good.
So they also released three videos for each one of these songs. So there is the official music video, the animated music videos, which we watch, which I think is also pretty cool. It's like these chalk, like stop motion drawings, pretty much, and then also a live version. So for every one of these songs, there is three different videos you can watch.
Gotcha.
It's like, there's so much work put into this album.
Sure.
So much they did for this. I think it's incredibly, it's just a work entirely of its own.
Yeah. It's good
worth
stuff, man.
Worth celebrating.
Super solid recommendation. I'm really glad that you sent it my way.
All right. So let's go. We're going to rate this thing.
Yeah.
Now, and I would like you to keep in mind the video as well.
Okay.
The ones we watch, the official music videos.
Okay.
Because that is part of it. This was a music and short film project.
Mm-hmm.
So for Principium as a whole, on a scale of, you know what? Entirely different scale.
Ooh.
If you had to rate it on a scale from January 1st to December 31st.
Oh, man. Okay.
What day are you landing on?
Oh, man.
What day of the calendar are you landing on?
I got the perfect, thing.
I have an idea, but go ahead.
It's gonna land on December 25th, bitches.
I had a feeling.
100%. Okay, so the thing is, if this was just the music, if you'd have just given me, like, listen to these four tracks, it would have been 10 out of 10, December 31st, 100%.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm taking away days from, I guess, is that
hey, look, if you only had a year to live, those days matter.
That's very, very true. Yeah. Is there was a little bit of a disconnect between, I felt like the music video and the lyrics were telling two different stories. I liked both of those stories a lot, but I felt like they were two different stories. And so for that reason, I'm going to knock it down a little bit. It's not to say that I didn't like
For anybody just listening, where it kind of got quiet, Micah just pulled a pubic hair from his teeth.
It wasn't a pubic hair, Thor. It was definitely a hair, though. I don't know where it came from.
It's funny when you see somebody like, I immediately knew, like, because there was nothing that came out. So it was like, there was clearly a hair in your mouth or your teeth.
Yeah, I don't know how it got there. But it totally derailed my train of thought. It was good. I really liked it. December 25th out of December 31st.
On a calendar year, Micah made it to December 25th.
Yeah, we made it to Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times, man. Yeah. So what do you guys think? What do you think about the Arcadian Wild? I still want to call it Arcadian Rhythm. I don't know why.
And I got to tell you, I've only listened to a couple of their other songs. I want to dive into more of their music.
Yeah, I probably will too after
so
this.
Anybody who's listening to this, go listen to some of their music. Tell us, is there one of their EPs or albums we should listen to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what do you think? Especially if you're from the Northwest. Oregon, Washington, up in Cali. Is Sacramento Northern California? I feel like that's Northern California.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Or at least Upper California.
It's such a big state.
Yeah.
It's like 10 of the eastern states.
Definitely the northeastern states for sure.
Yeah, it's really, there's 13 states on the eastern coast.
Uh-huh.
13 or 14.
Well, I mean, there's like
three
six
on
the
western
right.
coast. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's big. I think Sacramento is northern. I don't know.
If you're in California, I want to hear from you too. That's the gist. That's the real point of the story here.
Or if you're the Arcadian Wild, we're going to tag you in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You should give us a recommendation.
The Arcadian Wild, if you're listening, and we know that you are.
We know you are.
You guys seem pretty cool.
You do.
So and you play fucking badass music.
You do.
So please reach out to us. Give us a recommendation of some cool shit. It could be a movie. It could be a TV show. We don't care. Send it to us.
Oh,
Micah,
yeah.
Where could they do that at?
Oh, well, you can find us on a multitude of platforms. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Threads. You can find us on Facebook. And you can send us an email at our email address, which is getwreckedpod@gmail.com.
That's GitRecedPod@gmail.com.
There you go. All right. Well, Thor, next week, I'm going to bring it back to a movie here.
Okay.
I've got to pull it back to a movie. And as we came into the studio to record today,
yeah,
I didn't know what I was going to recommend to you. But I figured it out once we sat down.
Okay.
You need to watch The Usual Suspects. It's an old crime film.
I've seen The Usual Suspects.
What do you mean you've seen The Usual Suspects? In our last episode, you mentioned Kaiser Soze.
Okay, maybe I was thinking the wrong thing then. I definitely did. Because The Usual Suspects is, it's like a, they're like cops trying to take down like the mafia.
The Usual Suspects has Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And Benicio del Toro.
Okay.
And they are.
Takes place in like the 1930s?
No.
40s?
Nope.
50s?
90s.
Okay.
So. I was just going to stop before you.
I was going to go through
decade by decade.
I was sure I was going to nail it.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have got there. So Kevin Spacey plays a character for all of his flaws. It sucks that he's such a shitty person.
There is some questions about that.
Well, there's some questions about the accusations that he went to jail for. Yes. I don't know if there's a question that he's a shitty person. Everybody that I've watched interviews of have been like, you don't want to meet your heroes.
Okay, he's just a like, dick.
Yeah.
So even if he's not like like a serial rapist,
yeah,
he's
even
just
if he's not
asshole.
Evil, he's just awful. Yeah.
Okay. Kevin Spacey, if you're listening.
And we know you are.
And we know you are.
Give us a recommendation.
Give us a recommendation. Also, you're an asshole. I don't care.
Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. So what happens in The Usual Suspects?
In The Usual Suspects, it's a tale about Kevin Spacey was part of this group that was like a heist. And the heist went incredibly wrong. And Kevin Spacey is retelling the story of everything to the detective who arrested him.
Okay. Oh, you know what I was thinking about?
Huh.
The Untouchables.
Yeah, that's with Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Yep.
Different Kevin.
Different
Kevin.
That's
a 1930s like mob film, right?
It absolutely is.
All right. I was like, I swear to God, I've seen this. And
yeah.
It just dawned on me.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to watch The Usual Suspects.
Is it as good as K-Pax?
So much better than K-Pax. I would not be recommending it to you if it was on the level of K-Pax. The only good thing about K-Pax is that Kevin Spacey ate a banana.
Is it as good as American Beauty?
Ooh, that's a good question. American Beauty is pretty solid. I personally like
it. I was kidding. I don't love that movie.
Oh, well, in that case, it's so much better.
Okay.
So much better than American Beauty. Yeah, it's really, really good. Hindsight, right? And you didn't know. It was a different world. I used to love Kevin Spacey. All of his movies, except for maybe K-Pax. We're great. Just an amazing actor. Seven? Huh. What a good movie. Have you seen Seven?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of movies that it's like...
You're like, of course. If you it's the movie with eight killers in it, right?
Before I started doing this show, had you asked me, have you seen The Godfather? I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
So I don't... I have some self-awareness.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, it is fair for you to be like, have you seen, literally name
any
popular
movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if The Usual Suspects is streaming anywhere, but that's what we're getting it into next week.
You can find any movie on Amazon Worst case scenario, $4, you'll find it on Amazon.
I think that I might have the DVD, so I'll check before you leave.
There you go.
And see if I can give that to you. So next week, Usual Suspects. That's it, folks. That's all I got for you. So as always, folks.
Nope.
Until next time, folks.
You almost tricked me. let's just go from the beginning.
So, until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
Oh, I like that. It was like you were Batman.
Stay wrecked. Stay wrecked.
Yeah.
Gotham.
Stay wrecked, Gotham.